I'm John Arola. This is the Damage Report. And on this massive, unprecedented bombshell of a news day, we're very lucky to be joined once again by not just contributor to Rebel HQ, some say king of Rebel HQ, David Schuster. Welcome back to the program.
John, it's not just about the Presidential Records Act. I'm going to be screaming this bloody murder until people listen. It's not just that. But anyway, we'll get into it.
Well, I have to say, I want to hear more. But we will definitely get into the raid. And of course, we're going to get into the responses to the raid, of which there have been all of them. I think all of the responses that could have come have now come in. There were a few lagging ones, but we've checked all the hanging chads, and every right winger in America has responded to this. And so we're going to be diving into that, but not just that. We've got some fascinating political ads targeting Herschel Walker. We've got entire police forces being sacked. Alex Jones declaring victory on the cusp of owing $50 million to those who he has maligned. We've got all of that and even more. We've got Malcolm Gladwell, not live on the show or whatever. He's busy on his couch, but we're going to be talking about him and some of his recent statements about working from home. And in advance of that, if you wouldn't mind hitting the like button and sharing the stream, that would be great. And if you want to send us any comments, tweets, super chats, perhaps if you have thoughts about the raid on Mar-a-Lago, if you have thoughts about, well, will Trump take this in stride? You can send us those messages and we'll respond as we go. But with all that said, David, are you ready to jump into news?
Yeah, let's do this. This is going to be something else today.
Okay, let's do it. Let's start with this.
The raid began early Monday morning, and the search was already underway at that point, and that it continued, I believe, throughout the day. And so, and that in fact, and I'm going to read this to you now, this source said that law enforcement personnel appeared to be focused on the area of the club where Trump's offices and personal quarters are, which makes sense.
My advice would be careful what you touch in his personal quarters. But they apparently went and touched a lot of stuff, records, and they went into his safe, and everyone's freaking out because he has been raided, and that is big. You don't generally have presidents in America get raided, not because they don't break the law. They all do as a matter of course, but they're the president. And so they're generally not just above the law, but looking down on it like Zeus of old. But Trump did respond almost immediately to this raid. And considering how big this is, we wanted to start off with what he had to say. And then we're going to dive into some of the details and speculate a little bit about what this might really be about. Is it just about the presidential records? David Schuster tells me it's not. But first, here is what Trump had to say. These are dark times for our nation, as my beautiful home, Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach, Florida, is currently under siege, raided, and occupied by a large group of FBI agents. Oh, they found an occupation they're against. Nothing like this has ever happened to a president of the United States before. After working and cooperating with the relevant government agencies, this unannounced raid on my home was not necessary or appropriate. Prosecutorial misconduct, weaponization of the DOJ, and an attack by the radical left Democrats, who desperately don't want me to run for president in 2024, especially based on recent polls. Blah, 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 lots of stuff. First of all, the polls recently for 2024 have not been great. They in fact showed Kamala Harris even beating him, which is a bad position to be in as a prospective candidate. They didn't announce the raid. Sure, you're under investigation and there is no reason to extend to you any trust or faith that you wouldn't immediately destroy whatever evidence it is that you're holding. In fact, in the last news cycle, we know that you frequently rip up papers and throw them in the toilet. And so, yes, they're not going to announce it ahead of time. That said, are they going beyond what the DOJ, what the FBI should be doing? We're going to dive into these questions and more. For now, though, we know that the search was at least officially focused on material that Trump had brought with him from DC to Mar-a-Lago. Many pages of classified documents, which are not his personal property. You can't just take those after you leave the White House. It apparently went on for hours. It did result in the seizure of paper records. Trump had an attorney there. And Mr. Trump, in advance of this, had allegedly delayed returning 15 boxes of material and had been fighting with the National Archives for literally months. So he says that he'd fully cooperated. First of all, none of this needed to happen. But even if it did, you could have returned all of those documents a long time ago. It seems as if he didn't return all of them. But anyway, that's about the papers. David, first of all, look, I want your reaction to what is a massive development in the news that I did not think was likely to happen anytime soon. Even if I thought it was gonna happen, I wouldn't have thought it was on this topic. But is it even about this topic? There's a lot there, but what do you think?
Well, it's massive for a couple of reasons. First of all, in order for the FBI to carry out this raid, they need to get a warrant from a federal judge. In order for a federal judge to sign off on something like this, there needs to be probable cause that a crime was committed. Under Department of Justice guidelines, when you're going after a public official, never mind a president of the United States, it needs to be an even higher threshold. And when you're talking about the president of the United States, it gets signed off by every level of the Justice Department, including the attorney general, who's gonna say, was there a crime committed? You better be damn sure. And so my sense from talking with people who worked at DOJ is this was huge, not because it's a raid, but because of the evidence that the Department of Justice is now sitting on of a crime. And by the way, the Presidential Records Act is kind of vague. A couple of things with this. A president gets to determine when he's leaving office what something is classified or what something is not classified, not the National Archives. And secondly, there a president can choose to get rid of some documents under the law. So I have everybody telling me this isn't about the Presidential Records Act. Sure, there's this dispute with the National Archives, but there is no way, no way this Department of Justice under Merrick Garland, which has been fairly conservative in its approach towards Trump so far, there is no way they would sign off on this unless there was something blockbuster of a crime not related to the Presidential Records Act that they thought they'd be able to confirm by doing this raid.
Okay, that is fascinating. So we're gonna set aside the stuff I have prepared. We'll get back to it, but I really wanna dive into this. So it isn't that he didn't break some sort of law related to the records. He almost certainly did, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. Look, he's had this dispute with the National Archives. The dispute has been going on for some time. Sure, they want certain records. Trump was probably arguing, no, I can keep these records. I get to decide. It's a legal dispute.
But it's the sort of crime that it's just, yeah, I guess he broke the law. Okay, but do you think then that their request for a warrant was not actually about the paperwork and that's just a story that's being put out right now? Or
yes,
was the request really about the paperwork, but Merrick Garland was hoping to find other evidence? Or was it about the warrant was about multiple things, but then that would seem to almost muddy the case for it to be signed off on. What do you think the actual request was, and to what extent is this just a cover story that's gonna evaporate over time?
I think this is just a cover story. I think, sure, there is this dispute. The National Archives, I'm sure, would want Donald Trump to be raided, to have Mar-a-Lago raided by the FBI so they can get their documents. But that wouldn't convince the prosecutors. The prosecutors don't care that much about the National Archives. But if the prosecutors feel like they have ironclad evidence that Donald Trump committed a crime, say conspiracy to overthrow the United States, or maybe there were some call records, or maybe there's some memos that Donald Trump had in terms of his communications with people who carried out January the 6th. If that's part of what Donald Trump brought with him to Florida, and it's mixed in with some of the stuff the National Archives is looking for, then it doesn't matter really what the National Archives is looking for. You're talking about the Department of Justice, which is in its wheelhouse, looking at January 6th and trying to make the connection. Did Donald Trump take certain actions to cover up his involvement, or did he directly tell people what to do on January the 6th? And that's where I'm led to believe that it's about something bigger than whether Donald Trump had the authority to take certain documents, declassify them, and bring them to Florida.
Oh God, there's so many parts of this I want to dive into. So let's speculate for a second. Considering that this is Donald Trump, who I'm not, you know, on CNN, I can just say I think that he actively commits crimes, then loves covering them up. I don't think that he cares at all about any sort of ethical obligation to maintain documents or whatever. Why would these, let's say that he did take documents and among them potentially were ones indicating something having to do with January 6th or the effort to overturn the results of the election. Why would they still exist? Why would he bring them to Mar-a-Lago? Why wouldn't he throw them into the ocean? Why would they still be there to be claimed?
And that's a good question. I mean, I think because Donald Trump probably got some advice when he was leaving office that you do have some authority over what you can bring with you. And don't worry about, you know, the Presidential Records Act, the National Archives is gonna get some of your daily calendars and your schedules. But I think Donald Trump honestly believed that he had the authority to take certain things, certain items, certain gifts from the White House and bring them with him to Florida. Mm-hmm. Why he didn't get rid of it, maybe he figured, well, the plumbing system is not so sophisticated as it is at the White House and he can't just, you know, throw stuff down Mar-a-Lago the toilet. But yeah, I mean, or maybe he just didn't realize that some of these documents, some of his personal papers were as significant to the Department of Justice as they are. And that Donald Trump may have said, okay, I've got this call sheet or this memo of a conversation that I had with Steve Bannon or whoever it was. Okay, this is part of my, you know, final weeks in office document. I'll just throw it over here. But maybe that's something the Department of Justice can use to sort of close the circle and then bring a conspiracy charge.
Okay, well, then I have at least one more question for you, because this is all incredibly fascinating. What I wonder about, though, is if all of what you're saying is true, the speculation, is the FBI not playing a kind of dangerous game in that, as we're going to get into, the right wing has lost it, not just the media figures, but basically every senator, every representative, all of them are freaking out. And they're freaking out about apparently a violation of the National Archives records or whatever. Whether, even if this story turns out to be true, like what we're speculating about, it's going to take a little bit before we have all of those details. In the meantime, the country is going to get used to the idea that the FBI did this over a violation of the National Archives records. Doesn't that possibly lock in this is BS, this is political? Why, if you're going to do something so unprecedented that you know is going to dominate the news for many days, wouldn't you want to come with the strongest version of it?
Well, and I would also argue, not only, you're right about all of that. And I think if this was just about presidential records, then people, regardless of your political persuasion, have every right to be infuriated at the FBI. And that's why I think it's incumbent on the FBI and the Department of Justice to reveal your hand now for the sake of the integrity of your institution. This is the first time a president, an ex-president, has been raided. You have an obligation, Department of Justice, to come before the American people, issue a statement, hold a news conference with Merrick Garland and the director of the FBI, have the two of them there and say, this is the evidence that we have that convinced us we needed to do this. This is serious stuff. It's not about National Archive materials. It's about criminal conspiracies. Whatever the charge is, they have an obligation to come forward to the American people now. They can't wait 3 weeks, 4 weeks for people to sift through these documents. I think the institution and the integrity of the FBI and the Department of Justice is on the line right now. You have people calling for a civil war, and they are right to be infuriated if this is just small potatoes like National Archive material. If you've got something more, which I pray there is, because otherwise the Department of Justice is in a heap of trouble, but they have an obligation for their own reputation, their own integrity, to come to the American people right now and say, this is why this is so deadly serious.
Yeah, I think everything that you just said is true. I would add, you are being reasonable, but let's also bear in mind that there are a lot of people who are not reasonable out there. So in a hypothetical world where instead of the what we're calling sort of the cover story for the FBI being what they go with, if they instead said, no, no, we have very strong evidence that he was directly trying to create violence on January 6th. We have blah, 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 all this stuff. Even if they came out with all that, it's not like Dan Bongino would be like, well, in that case, I guess it was justified. Not as every one of them would still be popping their top. But maybe some regular people who could potentially be won over right now by Fox News might be a little bit more open-minded about whether this is justified, how serious the crimes were. So who knows what developments are going to come? I didn't think this was going to happen as of yesterday. Although notably in the top 10 list that I recorded with Francesca Fiorentini, she did predict a raid on Trump's house. So that was yesterday, by the way. She's quite timely with her predictions. I do worry that this might complicate things.
To your point about Republicans and perhaps be more level-headed, there are some, particularly members of the Republican Senate, who are sort of staying quiet right now because they know, anybody who sort of has followed the Department of Justice and knows about how these investigations work, understand that a raid, especially when you're talking about a public figure, is usually one of the last things that you do. So I think there's some expectation among the more level-headed senators, Republicans in Washington, that okay, the Department of Justice probably has a wild card we don't know about, and maybe it's only going to be a few days before they either bring an indictment or bring something public that shows why this was justified. The people who are going out on a limb are people who are just, you know, are lunatics. Mark Levin said this is the worst attack on the Republic in modern history. Really? Worse than 9/11? Worse than Pearl Harbor? That's how crazy these people are. And the idea is, when you have lunatics like the right does, it actually diminishes some of the more level-headed discussion that is coming from the right, from people who are like, okay, but if this is just about presidential records, doesn't that seem like an overreach?
Yeah, you're right. Look, we don't even necessarily have to jump, I don't think, to Pearl Harbor or 9/11. Even if we're talking about like politicized attacks, January 6th. Like, right. It wasn't that long ago. That was clearly worse than a raid on Mar-a-Lago. It might have interrupted, you know, a wedding that he was crashing, but I think the Republic will sustain. What are the ways that this could shake out? He's been raided. They've got whatever it is that they got. Maybe it's what they wanted, maybe it's not. The FBI is now looking into this. I'm assuming some of those documents will make their way to the January 6th committee if it does turn out that the documents are bare on the insurrection. So what could possibly happen in the next few weeks, in the next month? David, I'm really curious about your opinion. If it turns out that this is just about the documents, then I could see there being a backlash, you know, in the immediate months leading up to the midterms. I would hope that if it isn't just about this, then the timeline to come clean about that, to at least imply what they found, if not outright release or state what they found, would be pretty brief. I feel like people are gonna want answers about this. So what do you think are the most likely scenarios for how this develops?
I think the most likely scenario is that in the next 2 weeks, there is an indictment or some sort of public disclosure about the criminality of Donald Trump, not related to the Presidential Records Act. If this is just about Donald Trump and a fight over whether the documents were classified in the National Archives, which by the way, doesn't have necessarily the standing to determine whether something is classified. But if it's just that fight, then you are gonna look at perhaps one of the worst reputations for institutional integrity that the United States has ever seen in terms of the Department of Justice, because at that point it would have been an overreach. You can't have an ex-president, no matter how much we all may detest this man and think he's the most corrupt person, the most abominable person on earth, you still can't have the Justice Department go in and raid the home of an ex-president over presidential records. That's way beyond the pale. And again, because Merrick Garland has been so cautious and so careful, that's why so many people in Washington, at least, and the Department of Justice world are buzzing. This has to be, this has to be something much bigger. And we will find out soon, because under Justice Department guidelines, when dealing with public officials, you cannot, you're not supposed to bring a criminal indictment within, I think it's like 60 days of an election. Some people say 90 days. The fact that they are moving now, to me, suggests they've got something that is imminent.
Yeah, and I think we're at about the 90-day range or so. Although, as we'll get into, some Republicans are already saying you can't investigate him because we're good. Okay, that's weird. I don't remember exactly what point I was making. Okay, then we're gonna. Damn it.
Well, 2024, here's the interesting thing, because there's this argument that if you violate the Presidential Records Act, there's a punishment there that suggests you cannot hold office again. You cannot be an official government employee. So there's some people, Clinton, who have been floating this idea that no, the Presidential Records Act is like what taxes, not paying your taxes were to Al Capone. That's what they're gonna catch Donald Trump. To me, that's small potatoes, and that's too cute. And I don't think the Justice Department would go for it.
Yeah, and I've also read some analysis of that saying that if that were to ever be invoked, it would be challenged, and the Constitution doesn't give the legislature the ability to set by law standards for being president, aside from impeachment. Specifically, that's stated in the Constitution, but we'll see with that. Okay, the one I remember the last point I wanted to make. So you were talking about how everyone's reacting to the fact that this is Merrick Garland, of course, and seems like a very cautious guy, and there's no way that they did this without Merrick Garland giving the okay to it, correct? We can all agree on that.
Right, absolutely no. I mean, they're duty bound under something like this to go to the Attorney General.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can't help but remember 1 week, maybe 2 weeks ago, he gave that interview where he was asked about, you know, there are some who say that it's too politically dangerous to go after the president. And he seemed oddly sure of himself as he was saying, there's no one that we wouldn't investigate. And there he was talking about January 6th. He wasn't talking about national records. This had to have been in the works for at least a little bit. I wonder, is that what he was referencing? Was that him telegraphing that something is coming and it ain't just about, you know, some paperwork?
Well, it is really smart of you to bring that up, because this is the sort of thing that usually does take weeks of discussion. You can't just say, oh my God, look, we've got a smoking gun and we think the bullet is at Mar-a-Lago. Go, go, go. It doesn't happen that quickly. I mean, there's all sorts of levels of discussion, particularly given the historic nature of this, that I think certainly within the last couple of weeks, if not even longer, that the attorney general was aware of what his investigators had found and what they were looking at. And there was probably some sort of debate initially about, is this something we can really do? For Merrick Garland to give the green light, he had to have known within the last couple of weeks, at least, if not longer, what it is that the Department of Justice, the FBI had collected already that was beyond probable cause that Donald Trump committed a serious crime. And so I think it's perfectly smart to marry up what Merrick Garland and what his demeanor was a couple of weeks ago with this action that happened yesterday.
Well, we're going to be watching to see if there are any developments today. For now, though, we will be taking a break and coming back to some of the reaction to last night's events after this. Okay, now it gets even a little bit more fun. Let's jump into this.
Nothing. Hunter Biden is having sex on tape while doing crack. And what is he doing? He's living in a Malibu mansion.
So the right has had to process the raid on Trump's house at Mar-a-Lago in a lot of different ways. Not many of them have focused on Hunter Biden having sex on tape and doing crack. But that's how Dan Bongino gets through these difficult times, by focusing on Hunter Biden's sex life. What exactly about having sex even on tape is illegal, he does not clarify. But he knows deep down there's something Hunter Biden has done that should result in him going to jail. And if you can't stop Donald Trump from being raided, if you can't stop an investigation into his crimes, it's important for the right, it's becoming clear, that everyone else suffer. That they investigate, name a person, either Joe Biden or Hillary Clinton or Hunter Biden or someone. I don't know, they don't seem to like Pete Buttigieg these days. Maybe he did something. And of course, investigating other politicians for their crimes has little to do with whether Donald Trump broke the law, but they're in a coping process right now and they're trying to figure it out. There are a lot of other attacks that the right has taken, trying to imply that this is, you know, the FBI run amok, which they could end up being right on. Changing their position to suddenly being okay with reform of the law enforcement agencies across America. We've got a lot of takes that we're gonna get into. But David, in an earlier segment, you were referencing how there are some responsible, mainly senators on the Republican side, who are staying out of this right now and waiting for more information to come out. That, of course, was not how Fox News was going to react to this. What do you make of the reaction on social media and on cable news?
I think Fox News is just trying to win the next, you know, few hours, the 24-hour cycle. They don't care if their hot takes ultimately be proven to be absolutely dead wrong. Fox is all about outrage and feelings, and they have a feeling, how could Donald Trump have done anything to deserve this? Well, we're gonna find out very soon what it is that the FBI and the Department of Justice has. And I think cooler heads, and I would also say this to people on the left, progressives and Democrats who are celebrating, yes, he was. Well, let's wait and see, because we're gonna find out in a couple of days, and let's just sort of calm down, everybody, take a deep breath. We can report that, yes, there was a raid. Yes, there were, you know, dozens of agents. Yes, there was a guy with a machine gun standing out in front. Yes, they got lots of boxes. Maybe it was related to presidential records. The Department of Justice and the FBI are under such enormous pressure to reveal their hand. And again, this usually comes at the end of the investigation, a raid like this. We will find out very soon. And then let's have at it. Let's be judgmental. Let's be harsh if the FBI and the Department of Justice deserves it. And I will join those calls in saying that the Department of Justice is corrupt and ridiculous if this is something of small potatoes, like, oh, a fight with the National Archives. If this is not something bigger, then yes, everybody who's mad now will have every right to be mad in a couple of days. But let's just give it a couple of days and see.
I'm sorry, David, I don't want to be scooped, so I'm going to start being judgmental and harsh right now. by the way, like, you're totally right. If it turns out that it's just this, you know, I on some level believe that presidents should suffer consequences for breaking the law. So I would be perfectly comfortable being in the country where you do get investigated if you break laws, even minor ones. But I get what you're saying. For most people, it would be a bad precedent. But anyway, yeah, well, the idea that whether the DOJ is an organization that produces just outcomes, to me, that is not up to how this case shakes out. That's in the cards a long time ago. Like, this is an interesting development, but I don't trust the DOJ or the FBI anyway. That said, as I alluded to, there were other takes on this. I want to go to a little bit of what Mark Levin had to say.
It's 90 days before midterm election. That's outrageous. Number three, everybody pretty much knows that Donald Trump is going to run in the Republican primary for president of the United States. This is the worst attack on this republic in modern history, period. And it's not just an attack on Donald Trump. It's an attack on everybody who supports him. It's an attack on anybody who dares to raise serious questions about Washington, D.C. and the establishment in both parties.
Yeah, that's a short clip, but there's a lot there that I want to dive into. One, look, he mentions that it's 90 days from a midterm election, and that is true. But I would ask the audience, do you believe that if it was 120 days until the midterm elections, he would not have a big problem with it? If it was a year, do you think he would care? Also, this is America. We have elections every 3 weeks. That's basically what happens in America. But anyway, the part that I kind of want to focus on, David, is them attempting to get their base fired up by saying, this isn't about Trump. They're not investigating him. They're investigating you. I think maybe we can jump ahead just a little bit. Apologies to the TD, but to graphic four, Don Jr. sent out this meme that they always share immediately following any criticism of Donald Trump, any indication that an investigation is proceeding against Donald Trump. It's not about him. It's about you. And that goes beyond just Trump. When the IRS gets funding for more investigators, that's not about the billionaires, that's about you. It's like the most shallow populism imaginable. The idea that there finally being a whiff of consequences for the richest, most powerful people in America, that's about you and you should really be worried about it. I think it's probably an effective tactic to convince people to be really worried about what this means.
Yeah, because when you talk to people, you talk to Trump supporters, they say, look, this may be Donald Trump now, but the next time I speak up at the school board, the FBI is going to be coming down to my door and raiding my house. No, they're not. But because these people listen to Fox News and Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingraham and Sean Hannity, who all say this is more than, and Mark Levin, who says this is worse than 9/11, worse than Pearl Harbor, on and on and on. People think, oh my God, the FBI is coming to get my guns, to get me for my speech about whatever it is, coronavirus. And so people are terrified. And when they're terrified and they're frightened of institutions like the FBI, law enforcement, the Department of Justice, they naturally gravitate back to the people who are on their side, like Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson. So they get huge numbers of people who are terrified. Tucker Carlson knows this. He knows that the more frightened his audience is, the more people are going to watch him.
Yeah. No, that's true. And look, admittedly, he's very good at generating audience. He understands exactly the sort of point that you just said. It's something that I should really try more. Okay, so to the audience, there's a tiger behind you. Stay tuned. Anyway, yeah, no, I agree. They're going to ride this to tons of money. Trump is going to raise $20 million in the next couple of days off of this, I'm sure. But I want to turn to one other avenue for criticism following the raid, and that is, something needs to be done about the FBI or the DOJ or everyone. Something needs to be done. Listen to Laura Ingraham.
This is a time for people who love our country, love our representative democracy, respect our Constitution, to take a breath, realize we've been through worse than this before, and we will get this through this again. But when we get power back, it's time to hold everyone accountable. The military leadership, the civilian leadership, the civil service, those in Congress who've abused their power, all of them have to be held accountable, all of them. It can't be this nice guy routine where we're just, oh, let's be friends.
So there's a couple of things I love about this. One, the idea that up until this point, the right has been the nice guy. It's interesting. I must have dozed off there for a bit and missed something. The other is everyone, calm down. We've been through worse. We'll get through this. I heard her say that and I thought, wow, this is the most calm and rational and lucid Laura Ingraham's been for some time. But she immediately transitioned to, and there was no cut, it was from one to the next. And then when we get in power, we're clearing out the generals, we're clearing out the DOJ, the FBI, the civilian leadership, and members of Congress. We're coming for you. We're coming for all of you. The calm only lasted a couple of seconds, David.
Well, I wonder, I mean, who's Laura Ingraham talking about? Who is going to hold these people to account? Is it a Republican administration? Eventually, we would have a palace coup underway by Republicans. Or is she speaking more broad terms so that when Donald Trump, if he does get indicted, she can say, oh, I wasn't saying to get rid of everybody. I was promoting accountability for everybody. And of course, a president should be accountable, and his chief of staff, and his lawyers, and the people who are in charge of these militia groups. Everybody should be held accountable. I was telling everybody to calm down. I mean, it's almost sort of ingenious the way Laura Ingraham is trying to sort of have it both ways, both to sort of wait and see where this goes, because she knows how the Department of Justice operates and what this all means. And at the same time, she's trying to fire up her audience and make her audience think that she is on their side and is just as outraged as Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson.
Yeah. Yeah, and it also it's also consistent with what has been leaked recently about what Trump plans to do in his second term, which is just clear out anyone who's disloyal. That's Laura Ingraham's a fan of that. She wants everyone to be ready. I don't think her base would ever have a problem with Trump firing whoever he wants, but in theory, were he to get elected, and then it turns out he fires 30% of the bureaucracy specifically to purge anyone who might leak something. I don't know, some people might be bothered by that. So they're doing a little bit of work ahead of time to get people used to the idea that that might happen. The fact that we need to do something of the military leadership quote is coming out like one day after one of these books asserted that Trump told, I think it was Milley, like, why can't the generals be loyal like the German ones? And when Milley was like, which? He was like, you know, the ones under Hitler. Okay, that's maybe back off of the let's purge the military thing when we're talking about his recent coup attempt.
Well, and it's not, look, for everyone who thinks, okay, we can just go ahead and get rid of all the generals or 30% of the bureaucracy, it's actually not that easy to do. Yes, there are a certain number of political appointments that you get to make, but in terms of the establishment bureaucracy, then you have to go through Congress in terms of cutting their funds and reshaping what these agencies do. You as an administration cannot simply say, get rid of every, you know, senior management level at the Department of Education. It doesn't work that way. I mean, it sounds great, I suppose, if you're on the right and you're a lunatic, but in practice, it can't happen that way.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and I just want to just briefly, like, he gets raided and immediately, you know, every opportunistic contrarian or whatever is like, well, this is you guys said you didn't like when they would chant lock them up. It's the same thing. And look, I would argue, are some of the people who are super thrilled about this on social media basically the same, that they just want to see people they disagree with locked up? I think there are certainly people like that on social media. Social media is a hellscape. That said, believing that everyone you disagree with should be locked up for reasons is not the same as, I think that, you know, even politicians, even the rich and powerful, should be investigated if there's good evidence that they committed crimes, some of which were committed totally in plain view. I don't think that that's the exact same thing. And I don't think that you get to spend years calling for all of your opponents to be locked up, and then when an investigation happens, imply that that is the apocalypse. That's the end of all things. That is what you've been calling for. The disagreement is over what the threshold of evidence should be. I don't think we should willy-nilly be locking up politicians, but sometimes they commit crimes. Sometimes they're corrupt. Sometimes they accept bribes. Sometimes they do bad things. And the idea that simply because they're popular or wealthy or because they might run again, they should be free of any consequences, maybe that is kind of how America has run up until this point, but I don't think that's a good thing, and I think it should be changed.
Yeah, no, there should be equal justice for everybody. And the fact of the matter is, I would agree with certain people on the right who say we should investigate everybody. Yeah, let's do that. I mean, I fall short of saying lock them up, but let's go ahead and expand the investigations into cabinet secretaries, into members of Congress, members of the Senate, and let's look at the corruption that causes them to take money from fossil fuels and then vote a certain way. Let's put all of that out there and let's have deep investigations into everybody and determine what's criminal and what's not. I'm fine with that, but I think the problem is when people on the right say, well, let's forget about the investigation, let's just throw people in jail.
Exactly, which many of them would be perfectly happy to do. It's safe to say that Marjorie Greene has not taken the recent raid on Donald Trump well. Her meltdown evolved over time on social media. Even though she is technically banned from social media, she gets to use her official congressional account the same exact way she would be using her personal one. And so we first got this, the upside down flag, which has a meaning. It has to do with grave harm to the Republic, those sorts of things. So a little bit of an exaggeration, but she immediately posts that. And then jumps to, this is the rogue behavior of communist countries, not the United States of America. These are the types of things that happen in countries during civil war. The political persecution must stop. I don't know what communism has to do with literally any of this. I think there are plenty of corrupt countries that operate under unfettered capitalism that lock up political opponents. So that's a weird flex there. But she is also, of all of the people who love chanting, lock up Hillary Clinton, lock up who, lock up Biden, lock up Hunter Biden, she is perhaps the most enthusiastic. So for her to talk about the political persecution must stop is a bit fresh. But she also agrees with something that we've seen quite a bit of since the raid, and that is that the FBI needs to go, tweeting in all caps, defund the FBI. Remember how that was a bad framing for defund the police? Well, it's good now when it comes to the FBI. See, the police, they are brutal to regular people. The FBI investigates the wealthy and well-connected. So it makes sense that you gotta keep the one with the boot on the neck of the regular people and get rid of the one that could potentially investigate her. That makes sense to me. If that's not on the nose enough, the defund co-optation, Liz Wheeler just tweets, abolish the FBI. One of these right-wing media people. Well, but you stole that too. You said we couldn't do that with ICE, despite the murders and rapes and abuse and all of that. Anyway, she apparently is informed of the fact that that's hypocritical, and then responds, the people claiming abolish the FBI is the same as defund the police are the same people who say men can be women. Reality isn't your strength. Good to know you're cool with a communist FBI though. If you're waiting to find out if she's gonna define what is communist about investigating President Trump, she is not going to. We don't know. And she also, by the way, like all of them, continues to insist that Donald Trump won the election. So the whole reality thing loses a bit of its sting there. But anyway, there's more to it. Threats of what is happening will not be tolerated. We are coming. I don't know what that means. Does that mean another insurrection? That's probably what it means. They love throwing out these empty threats. Scott Adams tweeted, I will allow my government 48 hours to explain itself. And then what exactly happens after the 48 hours, what exactly the guy who did Dilbert will do is not made clear. It's kind of a vague threat, David.
Maybe he's threatening to leave the country, and maybe Marjorie Taylor Greene can leave as well. That if we don't defund the FBI and federal law enforcement, then Marjorie Taylor Greene decides, no, this is, oh, wait a second. I think those Republicans who were telling Democrats a few years ago, worrying about George Floyd to, well, in any case, I love this, that Marjorie Taylor Greene wants to defund the FBI and others want to abolish the FBI, because this is a starting point. Let's go ahead and have this conversation about, okay, well, what would you replace the FBI with? What would you replace federal law enforcement? How would they be different? Because I think we do need to take a very strong look at law enforcement at every level, the local level, the state, the federal level, and look at this culture that is causing too many innocent black people to be have the hell beat out of them by rogue cops. And that also extends to a certain extent to certain federal agents. So yeah, let's have this conversation. Let's tear it all down and see what's the best way we could build it back up. And if you want a serious conversation, Marjorie Taylor Greene, what would you propose in lieu of the FBI? How would you do it? And let's have this discussion. But I don't think she's capable of discussion, so this is probably a meaningless point on my part.
Sorry. Exactly. Yeah, I don't think she's gonna take you up on that. super fast, I just wanna respond to a couple of her points. Elections are how Americans solve political differences, not by radicalizing our federal law enforcement to take political enemies out. But okay, so, but on both sides of that, you are the worst possible person to deliver that message. You don't accept the results of any elections. Years later, you don't accept them. So how exactly would that be the means to solve our political differences? You don't accept them. Also, not by radicalizing our federal law. You want to lock up your political opponents. It makes, save America, stop communism. What does this have to do with communism? It's Joe Biden. He's basically a Republican of the 1980s. He's not a communist. This has nothing to do with collectivizing the workforce or anything. I don't even know how that would work. But if you think that she's coming for the FBI and for Joe Biden, all that, that's true. But not just that. She ends part of her screed with, "In January, we take on the enemy within," which I take as a threat to Republicans who aren't sufficiently combative. I think that that's talking about continuing to make the Republican Party worse. I could be wrong. She's got a lot of enemies. It's hard to tell at this point.
Well, maybe she wants another. Maybe she wants another January 6th. I mean, can you imagine how crazy the vitriol would be if Christopher Wray, the FBI director, had not been named FBI director by Donald Trump, and God forbid it had been some other, you know, Democrat or somebody who was a leftover. Can you imagine how crazy people would, but then when you tell people, well, wait a second, but Christopher Wray, by most accounts, is a Republican who was named by Donald Trump. Well, you know, suddenly the argument goes askew. Well, what is it? Is this communism with a, I mean, it doesn't make any sense, but that's part of the shtick on the right, is this isn't about making sense and about having logic. This is about touching emotional feelings that a lot of Republicans and right-wing lunatics have right now, never mind whether there's any logic behind it.
Yeah, someone, Ducey, actually brought up that point this morning on Fox and Friends. And the dude that they were talking to like scrambled to be like, well, you know, Trump had to get rid of the previous leader of the FBI. Let's not go into exactly why he wanted to do that. And so he had to choose someone. So he chose Chris Wray, but he didn't like him. He didn't like him when he was in office. He still chose him. He's a Republican. He's the head of the FBI. Of course he's a Republican. They've all been Republicans. Anyway.
I mean, so we'll come to find out. I guarantee we're gonna come to find out that the federal judge who signed off on this raid, I'm willing to bet that it's going to be a Trump appointed judge. And that'll just cause, you know, the MAGA crowd to go nuts, and Marjorie Taylor Greene, then I don't know what she's going to do with her communism, but look for a lot of self implosions on the right.
It's a rhino that Trump chose. Anyway, okay, with that, we are going to take a break. When we come back, we got time for probably one more story after this. Okay, with that, let's get into one more topic, starting with this.
Do you think you know Herschel Walker?
Touchdown, Georgia.
Well, think again. Listen to what his ex-wife had to say about him.
His eyes would become very evil. The guns and knives. I got into a few choking things with him. The first time he held the gun to my head, he held the gun to my temple and said he was gonna blow my brains out.
So that is a new ad from the Republican Accountability PAC trying once again to get through to the voters of Georgia that Herschel Walker, there's some significant issues with him. The idea of him holding a position of incredible political power, considering the many things that he has said and done, both in private and in public. And while they point out one particular case of him threatening an intimate partner with lethal violence, not the only one. So let's see, Cindy DeAngelis went on to say unequivocally that he was gonna shoot my sister and her boyfriend in the head. Let's see, police responded to a dispute in 2001 where they had to take cover outside of his house and then said that they were going to have his address be a caution address since he has violent tendencies and has talked about having a shootout with police. So threatening to shoot a wife, threatening to shoot her sister and her husband, threatening to shoot the police, or at least imagining shooting them. There have been many other instances in which he has made threats of violence, including lethal violence against multiple people in multiple relationships. And look, I guess you can't just accept anyone's word, but this certainly seems like a pattern of violent fantasies and threats over multiple decades. And I guess that that's not a deal breaker necessarily, David, but I really wish that it still was. I feel like there are other Republicans in Georgia that are super conservative, but haven't frequently threatened to murder people.
Well, and speaking of patterns, it is usually the pattern of Democrats not to go to these sort of dark places in terms of attack ads. I think this is a brilliant ad because there's so many people in Georgia who are not paying attention to politics. They only know Herschel Walker as 1980 Heisman Trophy winner, national champion. Oh, that he was such a great football player. Yeah, he must be a great guy. Well, they aren't paying attention to some of the stuff that has happened since his football career. And this ad is so effective and so powerful. And credit to the audio engineer behind this ad, where you have the swell and then almost like the click where she talks about him blowing her brains. I mean, it is a gripping ad. Yeah. And I think it's gonna cause a lot of people to sort of say, well, wait a second. Is that Herschel Walker? And am I comfortable with having him, with all those problems, represent us? And then I think the burden is on Herschel Walker to say, yeah, okay, I've messed up. I've threatened violence. I've been involved in a lot of stuff. I'm a different person now, or whatever he might say. But again, this raises the question. And again, people can have problems in their past and correct them, but you gotta come clean about those problems first.
Yeah. And look, to some extent, he has talked openly about like the time that he was driving to go murder someone, but thankfully Jesus spoke to him in his head. So, which was nice of Jesus, because he didn't commit a murder. That was good. Thank you, Jesus, for stepping in at that particular moment. But I think, look, he didn't murder people that we know of in these cases. So that's good. That's the positive. On the other hand, while I agree that, you know, people can change, does that mean they should be a senator? Like, I'm not saying he should be locked up because he has frequently fantasized about murdering people. But should he be in a position of supreme political power, choosing Supreme Court justices, deciding whether legislation passes or not, when he has so frequently imagined himself in these situations? I don't know. I think that's an interesting thing for the voters of Georgia to debate. And I think they just have to have the information so that they're at least thinking about that.
And it gets to one of the keys for Democrats is, I mean, Herschel Walker is, I think, to the extent you can point him as unstable, that only helps you, because the reputation he had was he was the most reliable athlete in Georgia history. He was rock solid in representing Georgia and standing for us on the football field. Well, to the extent you can say, well, wait a second, maybe there's something wrong with him. Maybe he is unstable. Maybe he has tendencies towards violence. If you can put that in there, then you start to have people questioning their perceptions of Herschel Walker. And suddenly they're like, well, wait a second, Raphael Warnock is stable and he's predictable, even if you may not agree with his policies. And then it becomes more of a personality contest where Warnock, who's already ahead, continues to win.
Yeah. And at least insofar as my research has shown, Warnock has not frequently threatened to murder people. He hasn't fantasized about engaging in shootouts with the police. None of that sort of stuff, which I consider, I mark that down in the pro column for him as a candidate. Now, that said, I do want to let people know about the current state of the race. We know that nationally things have seemed to have shifted a little bit, especially in like the generic congressional ballot towards the Democrats in recent days. Well, here is the last, month or so of polls. And Raphael Warnock has been leading in all of the recent polls. One of them has him at +9, but in most of these, I mean, these aren't necessarily the biggest pollsters, and he's only winning by a few points. You would just really hope, David, that he would have a bigger lead considering all of this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would hope we would live in a country where if somebody has a Republican or Democratic symbol next to their name, that doesn't cause an automatic reaction by people. But unfortunately, there are plenty of people in Georgia and a lot of other states who are going to say, Herschel Walker, he's not a Democrat. I don't care if he's an axe murderer, I'm voting for him. That's the way politics, particularly on the right, is being played these days. And the just blind allegiance that so many Americans have, the tribal allegiance to their party. And it's frightening in many ways.
100%. Yeah. But let's bear in mind, the Roy Moore race was pretty close. And Roy Moore, beyond just these threats, I mean, he was basically like the Matt Gaetz of the 60s, and yet he was very close to getting into office. In any event, thank you to all of you who've been watching on our linear platforms as well as on the podcast. If you're watching on the full extended show, though, we've got a lot more to talk about. So we'll be back with the aftermath in just a few. Oh, do you know what's going on later today? Well, actually, right now. Primaries in multiple states, and we're going to be covering them as we always do. So at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time, you can join Cenk Uygur, David Dayan, myself, and Dr. Rashad Ritchie. We're going to be breaking down the results live from Connecticut, Minnesota, Vermont, as well as Wisconsin on YouTube and Twitch and Facebook and literally everywhere. And you should definitely join us. It's going to be fun. Cenk is back. And if you think that after only 2 hours of the main show, he's gonna be like caught up and done opining on all the major developments that have happened with the raid and with the IRA and with all this stuff. No. You're gonna wanna catch Cenk on his first day back. Amanda says, if the FBI doesn't find the records they're looking for, I recommend looking in Ivanka's coffin. Why would she need a coffin if she was cremated? No, I think some people still do, right? Some people still do burials despite cremation. Imagine if it was just packed with documents, the most messed up thing imaginable and thus believable.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.